Disc 3.
And he's standing there waiting for your order, and he's just seeing it all go through his mind. And I know how he sees it, because when I sit next to him, the same thing happens to me. And it's just fascinating, you know. You see a Roman arena, and you watch what's happening, and you see these two guys, and you can see their egos are still going like this, and they have this forgiveness, you see. They've killed each other, and now you see they've come back together to forgive each other. And, of course, you then begin having experiences like that yourself. And so it's a very interesting community. I met a guy that one lifetime, it was during the Crusades, I think it was. I remember killing him for Jesus, and he killed me for Allah. And we ran each other through at the same time, snicker snack. Boy, did I give it to him, and then he gave it to me. We both went firing out of bodies like that. So I met this guy, and we both saw it at the same instant. We're sitting in this restaurant, and the real started to run with me, and the real started to run with him. And telepathically, I said to him, and he said, so that was the end of it. Then I turned around. I didn't even meet him in body. We were back to back. I got the whole thing. It was all running. I knew this guy was there. And then after the forgiveness and all, we like embraced each other. And I turned around. I saw who it was in body. Hey, I said, hiya. You know, we loved each other. And a lot of that seems to happen. A lot of completions of undone business. Forgiveness is, you know. Forgiveness is undone things that we have completed there. So it's a very fascinating community. As I said before, there's no such thing as holding a secret thought where I live. You better forgive. You better let it go quick. Or somebody just walk up to you on the sidewalk and say, you know, I had a dream. And then they give you the answer to what you're looking for. When I first went to Sedona, I remember one of the first nights there, I'm laying in bed and I got this ringing in my ears. And I said, well, God, what's with the ringing in the ears? Didn't get any answer. So I stopped resisting the ringing in the ears, and I became one with it. I thought, maybe in this ringing there's a voice in there. Maybe there's a hidden message, you know? So I just became one with this ringing in the ears. And while I was in this ringing in the ears, I said again, I don't know, God, what is it? Still didn't get an answer. The next day, I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I'm thinking of my friend Alon. He's the waiter. And I think of Alon. So a lot of people in Sedona don't have telephones. You don't need telephones. I just thought Alon, and Alon thought me. So we just came together like that at the post office, which we knew was going to happen. Neither of us were surprised. And Alon walked up to me and says, the Father says not to pay any attention to that ringing in the ears. It doesn't mean anything. It's just the nervous system getting used to handling higher energies. I said, thanks, Alon. He says, thank the Father. So, outside of Sedona, things like that would hit you as unusual. In Sedona, it doesn't even cause comment. Nobody even mentions these things. And the reason I remember it is because it's one of the first incidents of tens of thousands that have happened similar to that. So if one's prime goal in life becomes to know God, to become one with God, to realize one's oneness, if that becomes more important than anything else in life, then you often find that somehow, strangely enough, you land in a community like that. Of course, there's a number of communities around like that. But you suddenly find that for strange and unpredictable reasons, you're living in a community where everybody else is dedicated to the same goal. So there's a lot of mutual support goes on in a situation like that. A lot of, and you can, I think, accomplish certain things in consciousness in that kind of a setting that you would not be able to handle on your own or in a different setting. It just sort of happens that way. It's sort of like the 100th monkey phenomenon, that your goals are supported by the joint goals of others with whom you're joined. So when we started the Course in Miracles in Sedona, 2% of the town's population showed up for the first class. Well, you know, the TM studies show that if 1% of the population is meditating on a regular basis, the crime statistics, the hospitalization, the suicide rate, the crime rate are all greatly reduced, about 50%. 1% of the population is meditating regularly. The crime rate drops about half. The admissions to the mental hospitals drops about a half. Suicide, divorce rate, all the indicators of social whatever are halved. So here we had 2% of the population showing up for the first class. And that was pretty neat. In other words, that 2% of the population, their consciousness is literally having a profound effect on that town of 8,000 people. crime is practically unheard of. I never lock anything. I never take the keys out of the car. I leave all my supposedly worthwhile material possessions just lying on the seat of the car. I walk in, I left $75,000 sitting on the floor of the car. And I was doing a real estate transaction. And it just drove around there for a few days until I remembered to take it to the bank. And because what you hold in consciousness is all you're subject to, you see. So locking cars is absurd, because you know why locking cars keeps out burglars? Because the power of your thought that if your car is locked, it'll keep burglars out, that's what keeps the burglars out, not the locks. Locks have nothing to do with it. It's the profoundness of your belief system. If you believe these are pick-proof locks and therefore that nobody can steal your car, then that's what'll happen. But you could also, I could secretly go back and unlock the car, and nothing would happen to your car, because it's your belief system that's making it safe to begin with. So in Sedona, we don't bother locking cars, because if you're holding a thought that somebody's going to rob you, then that's going to happen, and why have them break open your car? You might as well let it. You know, you might as well let them have it. And if your karma is that you're immune to such baloney, then nothing's going to happen to your car, so there's no point to locking it. So nobody bothers to lock their cars. Yes?
Years ago, when my father was growing up, he's 76 now, nobody in his community locked their doors or locked their car.
Right.
But I mean, with that same thing, now that most folks didn't empty that I know of. And there was a consciousness that you were responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents took responsibility for their children, and people need to watch out for one another, perhaps in a different plane. But what caused the change in 75 years?
Well, I think shifting belief systems and so many factors. Of course, a lot of people think that the negative energy on the planet is building up, that man's negative thoughts and feelings, which have accumulated for thousands of years, are reaching a certain cumulative effect, and that'll have an effect on the planet and things like that.
This morning you said that macrobiotic diet is not as good as rapid supply.
Well, you remember, I don't know if you follow the literature, if you're just reading New Age literature, then you won't read that lots of people, you know, starved to death and died of macrobiotics. And I remember this just 2 weeks ago, a woman in Arizona was, her child was taken away from her, and she was, in fact, sentenced to something or other for child neglect. Because, that diet, her child was actually brain damaged from protein deficiency. In other words, a growing child cannot just live on brown rice. It, is lacking in many, many essential ingredients. That is not a complete and total diet. It's all right if you're doing a certain kind of thing, you're an adult, and you keep it up for a limited amount of time. But I don't know anybody who's really done well on a macrobiotic diet year in and year out, you know. Nutritionally speaking, it's just not adequate to support a growing child's nutritional requirements. So it may serve as certain purification. You see, the belief system that a certain thing will bring about a purification is sufficient for it to do so. But I know thousands of different items all over the world that are considered to be purification items, and they're just as effective. So it's our belief system, as we demonstrated with kinesiology this morning.
Where exactly in Arizona is Sedona?
It's about halfway between Phoenix and the Grand Canyon. Physically, it's an unusually beautiful place. Saul Steinberg's been there, and he thinks it's the most beautiful place he's seen. So physically, it's a very attractive place, physically. And at first, you know, when you go there, a lot of people get high on the beauty. A lot of people get sort of high, feeling sort of high on just the beauty of the surroundings when they first go there. And there's quite a few artists that are attracted by the physical beauty of the surroundings. So it's physically beautiful, and it's about 4,500 feet elevation. So it's an interesting place to visit on just the physical plane. Sedona has a lot of visitors a year. They're about, I don't know, 5 million or something visitors a year that come through because of the natural environment and natural beauty. So there's a lot of provision for visitors in Sedona, a lot of motels and things.
Do you have any
I have a difficult time trying to meditate, finding my thoughts wander off in one direction or another, usually without my being aware of it, until something like that. But can you give me any suggestions that would help me with it?
Well, meditation, of course, is a whole complex subject in its own. Of Course in Miracles says that meditation is not necessary, but what it does give you is a daily lesson to contemplate, at least, to contemplate.
I'm still at the point with meditation and contemplation are one of the same.
Well, contemplation would mean that one tends to think of this thought as often as you can recall it throughout the day and look at its implications and repercussions and meaning in the context of your own life. And that's contemplation, and you can walk around and do your ordinary affairs in the world and contemplate all day. Some people have to more or less cut out the world to contemplate, but with a little practice you'll find that you're really keeping your mind on, sort of centered and frequently bringing it back to one single thought. Meditation is a more concentrated technique. In the beginning, you usually stop your daily activity for a period of time, and you withdraw, and you sit in a comfortable, and the first thing to do is become profoundly relaxed physically. As far as meditation techniques, there's at least 100 I know of. There's a book by Rajneesh that gives, I forget how many, 180 or something. And there's books on yoga giving 100, well over 100 different techniques. Probably the simplest method is, that I've found is, aside from using a mantra, which is one technique, is to merely concentrate on one's breathing, to merely be aware of one's breathing, to the exclusion of all else. That's the simplest technique. The purpose of meditation is to quiet the mind. Meditation per se will not make you enlightened, but it will make you aware of what it is you need to work on and give you an experience of higher states. And the purpose of the experience of higher states is it then renews your ambition to get rid of your garbage so that you can experience that state all the time. If you meditate long enough, you'll find that the capacity to meditate increases with time. That in the beginning you may be able to do it 10 minutes. The distraction comes from the suppressed feelings that we have. The suppressed feelings create many thoughts. One can sometimes learn to ignore the thoughts, to like see beyond them, and allow them to just go by uninterruptedly. There are so many, there's visualization techniques, there's auditory techniques. A simple one, of course, is taught by TM using a mantra, and merely concentrating on a certain sound. Well, the purpose of all meditation techniques is to quiet the mind, because the truth, the ultimate truth, reality, is beyond mind. It's the ultimate experience only comes when mind stops. So the purpose of meditation is to quiet the mind, and hopefully to rise to a sufficiently high level. Having done that sufficient times, there comes a moment when one goes beyond mind, beyond time, space, and beyond all limitations. The ultimate truth then is transparent, self-evident. There's no need to concentrate on the truth. The only thing that's necessary is to eliminate non-truth. In fact, concentrating on truth only becomes a program. To read about the ultimate experience and to concentrate on is to just give yourself another program. The way to realize the ultimate truth is to let go of non-truth, and that's what the purpose of the Course in Miracles is. Through the mechanism of forgiveness and transformation of consciousness that ensues, the ego becomes weaker and weaker, and eventually you begin to experience the self. The Course in Miracles is the bhakti yoga pathway, really a bhakti pathway. It's the course of love. And as you let go non-love, love becomes so overwhelming after a while that when one day you suddenly see yourself looking out of somebody's eyes at you and you wonder how you got in their body or how there got to be two of you. And then it begins to happen with everyone. This may be disturbing to some of the people in your environment, so you learn to cut it down after a while because it sort of blows their minds. When you learn to open up your own inner self and reach for their inner self and you experience that oneness, that's called, in the Course in Miracles, holy instant, when you recognize that that person is you, really. And it does happen. You just stay hanging with the chorus one day. Very often it starts with somebody that you're very close to. And your willingness to be open to that person and that person's willingness to be open with you, all of a sudden in one instant, you wonder how you got into two bodies. You feel like twins. And almost everybody, as they first have that experience with somebody they love, will almost always say the same thing. We couldn't figure out how we got into two bodies. Or how I got into two bodies. How did I get into your body? What am I doing looking out your eyes at myself? It's a very strange phenomenon the first time it happens. But everybody has the same experience. Wonder how do we get into two bodies? Doesn't make sense. We're in all bodies. The one, us one. Us one is in all these bodies here. So we're looking at ourself all the time. We're always looking at ourself. We think it's another so long as there's a forgiveness. Is yet to be done. As the forgivenesses happen, perception changes, and you see that is not self, but it is self. That which was not self becomes self. And then the experience of oneness happens, in which you are one with everything in the universe. That's the whole purpose of the Course, that experience. And then to continue in the Course, so as to make that happening continuous. To be always in that state. So I'm talking to myself up here. I am talking to myself. Same time I'm out there listening to myself. I don't know whether I'm listening to myself or talking to myself. Yes. Grace in terms of the Course? That's what we were talking about this morning, that everything happens of its own. When ego lets go, grace is what we call what happens. You see, as long as I think that I am the doer, as long as I think there is an I named Dave, and he's real, and he's what's making the body do what it does, or making anything happen. The minute a doubt arises that is so, and it happens eventually in the Course, in one instant, you might say, through grace, one sees that is not so, that I am not the doer, that all things happen of their own. Grace is what we allow to happen when the ego comes out of the way. I might define it that way. Accompanying grace is a profound feeling of peace, a feeling of knowingness, and that impossible to describe feeling of oneness. Another peculiarity of that state is that everything is connected and it's rock-like. I don't know if the Course describes that or not, but the experience, everything is, in fact, all that can be said in that state is that all is. There is no self, there is no personal self, the pronoun I is an illusion. The self, as the Buddha said, does not exist. All is one, all is profoundly connected and silent, all is perfect, and all is solid as a rock. Nothing can possibly happen of its own. There is no such thing as a spontaneous occurrence. In other words, because all things are connected, you cannot lift your little finger without affecting the universe. And you see that in an instant, because everything is profoundly connected. And you see the perfection of all that is happening, because everything fits together like a puzzle, so that this interlocks with this, and it couldn't possibly interlock with anything else. And because it's shaped like this, and it's shaped like this, and because of their polarity, they come together. It's automatic. Nothing needs to be done. And you look at your friends, and they're all like flowers. You see each one unfolding perfectly, fulfilling its ultimate destiny, and that the universe is the ultimate stage for this to happen. This this world is the perfect stage. That's its purpose. To me, after doing the course this number of years, the universe, or the world as we see it, is the perfect place for our realization of our oneness and the ultimate truth to come to us. The world is so structured that suffering is automatic, and the suffering, by its nature, forces you to look for the truth. That's why I want you to take advantage of this lifetime and body on this planet, because it is so designed as to bring the fastest growth possible. There are other planets and other universes which are much, much nicer, fantastically better, except you don't grow. Everything is fine, everything's perfect, and nobody grows. So you can rest up in a few of those universes between lifetimes, but sooner or later your higher self says, hey, you had enough good times now, folks. Let's go to work. So we come to this planet to go to work. I think most of us have found that this planet is hard work, right? This is a toughie. Yeah.
Is there a time frame between the reading of the years and the Holy Institute?
Well, the reading of the years was just a peculiarity of my own particular case. The Holy Instant, in my experience, occurs when sufficient forgiveness is, when you've let go of enough garbage, it then just sort of happens spontaneously. It just happens of its own. One time we had a silent weekend. There was 12 of us. We stayed together for 4 days without, in silence, total silence. And on the last day, we were all sitting at supper, and there was, I think, 12. And all of a sudden, just as dinner was about to be served, none of us had spoken for days, and yet everything flowed perfectly. If I thought salt, somebody would hand the salt down. That's just the way the whole weekend went for all of us. Every thought, every need was immediately fulfilled. Imagine 12 people not speaking. How are you going to prepare dinner for all 12, right? There was no advance planning for dinner, nothing. But just dinner automatically appeared. It was just what everybody wanted. We were all sitting at the table. It all happened of its own. And all of a sudden I looked, and there were, it was like 12 Christs looking at me. And for one moment, psychically, there was absolute silence. There was not one thought form in the air. All of a sudden, psychically, all the telepathic communication stopped. All of a sudden, it was absolute silence. And we all looked at each other with disbelief. We looked at each other in one incredible moment of absolute silence. There was a recognition and a realization of who we all were. So I guess when the time is right, when the setting is right, for it to happen, because this is a gentle course and nothing happens against your will. So everyone was obviously ready for it. If it had happened prematurely, it could frighten someone. So that's why spirit is gentle. Nothing's going to happen to you until you can handle it. And obviously all 12 people were ready. And after 4 days of silence together, in one instant, it was just incredible. Just absolute perfection. I could hardly eat. I just sat dizzed out. It was so neat. Huh? Well, I don't know. People along these very spiritual pathways report these various phenomena, you know. They also report weird sensations in their body and their nerves and things like this. My own feeling was that the nervous system was handling far more energy than it had been used to in previous times. That literally, when I look within the body, I see the nerve cells proliferating and able to handle like higher energy. That if I'd put through the energy that runs through me now, 8 years ago, I would have blown myself right out. I don't think I ever could handle it. So you'll get increments. Suddenly there's a jump in consciousness, and suddenly you'll feel the kundalini energy running up your spine, and blockages will occur in your spine, various things. You let go of you with certain forgiveness, and all of a sudden the blockage clears up. And various people report sort of passing neurological difficulties and aches in their arms. And so I don't know, that's just my understanding. The Course doesn't say anything about that. But I just observe that commonly, that people go through changes in their nervous system. Don't forget, you're changing your whole thought system, and your thought system is the mind, and the mind is controlling the body. So obviously your nervous system is also going through changes, just as other parts of your body are. We'll have one last question, then I have to go.
What about electricity? I turn it on. Go and turn on the light, and before you turn it on, it goes on, and I go to switch the Xerox machine, and you just have to think that it's...
Oh, yes. Yeah, psychic phenomena. Well, psychic phenomena, I found, happen spontaneously as you do the course. This will be the last question. Psychic phenomena begin to happen. The thing is, don't get enthralled and caught in them. See? Don't get enthralled and caught. Don't let your ego grab hold of this new psychic, because you'll get all kinds of psychic phenomena. I've had psychic phenomena, the capacity to do certain things come to me that you would never believe if I told you. Incredible capacities will come to us, and I don't know, my experience with them has been that they'll happen until you learn the lesson that they are within the power of the mind. And then my own experience is, then I'll begin to do them for amusement. And at that point, they disappear, you know. And fixing electronic equipment, I did that for quite a while. And I remember one guy, he came to fix my stereo system. I had a very elaborate system. And he came with the guy who ran the company. Anyway, the kid blew out the amplifier. He screwed up. The boss is over in the other room. And the kid blows this big Macintosh 100-watt amplifier, you know. And I could see the kid's worried to death what he's going to tell the boss. I mean, he really blew it out. There was nothing wrong with the amplifier when he got there. But I So he's about to get ball off of the boss. So I looked at it, and I instantly saw its perfection. And I felt this energy shoot through me like a shot. And in an instant, the amplifier started. Well, first, I sort of concentrated on it. I guess I went into sort of a semi-trance. Anyway, I looked at it, and I just went like that, and started. And the kid is standing there, and he says, "I saw that." "How'd you do that?" I says, "These things happen, kid, you know. They just happen." And I was turning the strobe lights on and off in the room, too, you know. If I'd see them on, they go on. If I'd see them off, they go off. Simple. But handling electronic equipment is very easy, and it comes psychically at a certain level. But the reason the boy was there and witnessed this, the reason the miracle happened through me was for his benefit, because he said, "Wow." He said, "How'd you do that?" And I started talking about the Course in Miracles. He says, "I've been looking for something like that. It's just what I want." I said, "Well, I just happen to have one extra set." He says, "I just happen to have $30. Before the kid left the house, he torn the carton open. He was on lesson one already. And it was obvious this whole event was strictly for his benefit. You know, it was for his connection. And it was to verify that such things are possible. You know, Uri Geller and all those things. In Sedona, we do all this for parlor trick. You know, it's amusements. You sit in the Oak Creek Isle, and everybody's moving pencils around with their mind. And I'll tell you, the waiters, "Come on, would you stop?" Everybody's moving objects around with their mind because it's the latest craze, you know. Moving pencils with your mind is what everybody does in Sedona this week, you know. Next week, it'll be something else. But these things come and go. These things come and go. So the thing is, don't get hung up on psychic phenomena. They can become fascinating. The ego can take over. You can begin to think you're somebody because you can do them. And you can get hooked. And you can spend a lot of lifetimes perfecting psychic phenomena and get hooked into that level. Enjoy them when they come and marvel at them and see that those are the powers of the mind and turn them over to spirit so that these psychic phenomena will happen when they need to happen, but not otherwise. I can remember I'm driving down the highway one day, very deserted out where I am, and all of a sudden I felt this enormous energy just channel through me, and it went out through my chest, out through the heart chakra. And the energy was very powerful, very strong. And it went around the bend, went down the road a couple miles and around the bend. By the time I drove around the bend, there was an accident. Car is still spinning on the wheels. And the car was upside down, and just then the squad car came up. The energy went to the scene of this accident. I didn't get within myself to stop. I got that the mechanical, material level was being handled by the squad car. And as I drove on past, it stopped. It seemed that whatever, like your relay station, you know, spirit just uses whatever handy telegraph pole there happens to be. I went down the pike about another 3 miles, and it began again. This time, the same powerful energy. And I think all I'd said that morning was a willingness to be a channel of thy will, you know, St. Francis prayer, which I do every morning. So all of a sudden, this energy started again. Again, around the next bend, the energy went. I get around the next bend, but I got another accident. Again, it just happened. And this energy was powerful, really powerful, and it went right to the scene of the accident. This time I saw an ambulance coming up the highway. So in that case, there was also no need for me to stop. I, as a person, was not, you know, involved at all. And it happened in Chicago, the same energy coming through my chest and And this time it was a fight about to occur in a bar. And the bouncers and these young men were lined up and they were about to get into violence. And I could feel this energy pour through me. This time the thought of peace came to me. And I just loved them all. And I stood there on the sidewalk for a second. This powerful energy is going through me and into this doorway. And I looked at them and I just sort of loved them all. And as I did, they all just fell back. And the whole thing was settled. The kids grinned sort of sheepishly. And everything was peace. And then that energy just stopped abruptly like that. Boop, just stopped. So all kinds of phenomena occur, you know, because of your willingness. See, a little bit of willingness brings these phenomena. And I think it's to show us that we are part of a whole system, that our willingness to be used by a higher power is that miracles happen, and it's only by our assent. You know, in the Course it says that only by your agreement. And so it's our little willingness to be here today that brings us here today. And it's our little bit of willingness that has such profound changes on our consciousness. It's our own little willingness that enables miracles to happen. And very often they just happen through us. We're just the impersonal bystander. We're just the bystander, and they happen through us. So I think the Course says, you know, that spirit selects who's to be with who and what's to happen and what lessons to be learned. So we need do nothing except to be willing. And that's all that we really are doing on this planet right now. Thank you.